Thank you, Brother Robert. It's good to be in church again tonight, and good to be able to worship the Lord. I thought about it. Brother Lloyd called me, I believe it was yesterday, and asked me to fill in here for him. And at the time, I didn't realize that I knew I had an appointment up at the surgery clinic to get a shot, but I didn't know until I got there today at about 12 o'clock, and then, it was after that before I knew that. And so about 1:30, somewhere along there, well, they put me to sleep and told me not to be a driving today, you know. And so I thought, man, I don't know where. I said, I told the guy, the technician, I said, I'm supposed to preach tonight. He said, well, you told me to be careful, everything, you know. He said, yeah, you can probably make it, you know. And but you know what? The Lord helped me, and I even drove to church. Surely I drove home, you know, and I feel, don't feel no after effects at all. And I thank the Lord for that. And it's just good to be here. Brother David is talking about going to have a birthday in the Lord in about a month here. I thought 13 days from today, September the 2nd, will be my 65th birthday in the Lord. And I thought he's sure been good to me. He's sure been good to me. And I thought as I had a little bit bigger crowd to preach to last night. Now, it's been a while since I preached two nights straight. It's been a pretty good while since I've done that. I preached out at Telford Prison there last night, and I had 136 prisoners, Brother Dwayne. And there's about, I don't know, something like 10 or 12 of them come to the altar and prayed. And one man in particular, remember, his name's Matthew, and he stayed and prayed just pretty good while, pretty lengthy there. And they was done a litting, taking the rest of them back to their barracks, you know. A bunch of them, you know, was done a lining up. And he kept a praying for a good little while. So he just acted like he was really interested in getting saved. And so pray the Lord will just continue to help him. I give him a little encouragement and a little talking to. And so the Lord can just help him. Pray for me tonight that the Lord will just move and help me tonight. I realize that I'm not much tonight, but I wanna do my best for the Lord. We appreciate having these brothers with us. I felt honored, you know, for either one of them to be up here in my place. But we're just glad to see them both. They've been friends of ours many, many years. They both have. But anyway, if you have your Bibles. And I do want to thank you for the offering. May the Lord richly bless you for that. I appreciate it very, very much. In the book of Genesis, first book in the Bible, the first verse in the Bible, I want to start reading here. And it says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Notice this now. He said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And notice this verse in particular. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Can you imagine that? Darkness. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Everywhere. God had just spoke the world into existence, and there was no light. It was darkness. But the Spirit of the Lord began to move, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Oh, hallelujah. All it took, it didn't take the throw of an electric switch. Amen. But all at once, Brother Dwayne, when God said, let there be light, there was light. Amen. And I'd like to try to preach to you for a little while. The Lord had helped me that God knows how to work. God knows how to work. Amen. He knows. He knows how. In the beginning, He created the heavens and earth and all of that. And that Spirit of God moved. God said, let there be light, and there was light. He knew how to do it. And God saw the light. He's looking there, and He saw the light, that it was good. It was good. He was pleased with it, in other words. And God divided the light from the darkness. And we go on here in verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called He seas. And God saw that it was good. Amen. Brother Rick, you had to cross over some of them seas coming all the way from the Ukraine. But God saw it was good. He looked down. He knows how to work. He knows how to work. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth the grass of the herb, a yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Amen. God was pleased with his own work. Brother Eddie, he knows how to do it. Even I thought, how? My, those seeds that you plant, you know, the corn, the okra, the tomatoes, the peas, the beans, all of that. Amen. And it sure is good. I've thought about, I've been eating a few peaches off my little peach trees, couple of little peach trees. Man, they sure have been good. They sure have been good. Amen. The evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. I thought, as the young people, I appreciate our young people, appreciated those testimonies that the young people was giving in there. And I thought about these seasons. And I know the young people, they look forward to the season that'll be coming up on us before very long. I call Christmas. Amen. They look forward to that. I thought some of the boys have spent season up around Christmas with us. Remember years ago, amen, come up and spent the day with us. My, God built the seasons for us to enjoy, amen. And so, for days and for years, I thought about those birthdays. You know, we count them off one by one. It was a big deal around home when we had birthdays. In my growing up, we didn't get to have lots of sweets, but I tell you one thing, we had birthday cakes. Amen. We was poor and didn't have much sweets during the year. Maybe banana pudding at Christmas, and we had always had birthday cakes. I'll tell you what, we enjoyed that. Amen. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. My, I can remember laying out on my back, amen, in the field there over over in the pasture and looking up into the sky and watching the sun and watching the clouds and all of that, and getting out at night and looking at the stars. Brother Edwin, I always like to look at the stars and just imagine, reckon how many there is, you know. We don't know how many there is. Nobody knows how many there is. But you know what? Don't the Bible say, Brother David, God calls them all by name. Woo! I can't even call everybody's name here. Some of these young people, maybe a few of the older ones that I forget your name sometimes, you know. Have to think a little bit, you know. But God looks out there at the universe. Boys, he sees all of them stars and he can call the name of every one of them. That's how big God really is. Amen. He knows how to work. He knows how to work. When he created all of that. Amen. And he said that God set him in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light and the darkness. And again it said, and God saw that it was good. I tell you what, God saw that it was good. Amen. In verse 25, and God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Amen. Hey, listen, God was pleased with his work. Verse 26 says, and God said, let us make man. Let us make man in our image. Not just in my image, as some people would say, but it was an hour. Amen, an hour to it. I thought, as that technician that stayed with me in that surgery room there, amen, was in there with me all the time. And he got to talking to me about church some. And he said, I've got some friends that goes to the Assembly of God Church. Amen. And he asked me about Pentecostal and what, you know, what is Pentecostal? And I told him that, you know, that we as Pentecostal people. And I told him, he said, now what is the church, you know, the Pentecostal church? I said, well, you know, they have a uniting Pentecostal church that they believe in one. And I said, we believe in three. He understood that. Amen. And he said, I've got some friends that goes to the Assembly of God Church. And he said, you know, what's the difference? I said, well, we're just a little bit more conservative than what they are. He said, what makes the Pentecost? I said, that's, we believe in being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, Brother Edwin, he understood. He had heard enough about it. And he said, now what is the difference there? I said, we're more conservative. I said, our lady folks, I don't wear pants. Amen. And I said, they don't cut the hair. And then he spoke up and said, and they don't wear makeup, do they? Amen. He just knew that on his own, you know. Amen. But I thought, how God, amen, God made man. He said, in our image. Amen. And he said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male, notice this, male and female created he them. Amen. And when God, amen, made Adam and formed Adam there, and then as he had Adam to name out the names of the different beasts there and called them so and so, and he looked around, there wasn't a companion for Adam. There, amen, there was no companion for Adam. And so he put him to sleep. Now Now, they didn't put me that deep to sleep today. Shirley was sitting out in the waiting room, you know. They didn't have to, Brother Sosa, they didn't have to make me a companion. She was there waiting on me. But I thought about, he put Adam to sleep. He took one of his ribs and made woman. And I'll tell you what, when Adam and Eve there was together then, there was no doubt about what sex they were. He was a man and she was a woman. In this day and time, they get some claim they get mixed up and don't know hardly who is who. I tell you what, God made man, amen, and he made everything here, and he thought it was good. Notice verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. But when God made man and woman, he didn't make one that they didn't know who they was. No, amen, he made them right. He made them right. And I tell you what, he made man and set him over here, everything here. He blessed him and set him over all the different creatures and the earth and all of that. But looks to me like a lot of men are making a mess of things. They're making a mess of things. Amen. Not a doing it like they ought to be. But I thought God looked it all over. He just maybe sort of backed off and looked at it. Everything he had made, the heavens, the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, the beasts of the field, the grass to come up, the fruit trees, and all of that. And then man there and put him over all that. And he saw that it was good. Amen. He saw he had done a good job of it. You know why? Because God knows how to work. He knows how to work. He knows how to do it right. And then, amen, if you turn over to the book of Romans, chapter 11, and verse 29, I believe it is. You're right quickly. Amen. Romans 11 and 29 says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God knows how, amen, to call people for what they're supposed to do. He knows how to place them in a position, and they ought to stay in that position. They need to stay in that position that he put them into. Amen. But we see here in the book of Jonah, it don't always happen just that way. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Jonah was a preacher. Amen. Called to preach. Some of you boys may be called to preach. Amen. But remember your calling. Remember who it is that called you. Remember who it is that you're working for. Amen. Who knows how to do it, and he knows it's good to call you to preach. He knows what he's doing. But Jonah didn't take heed to that. He rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Amen. That song that you sung tonight, Brother David, something about, how do you say, the highest of highest and the lowest of hell. In other words, God can look into it all. You can't run from God. You can't hide from God. Jonah ought to have known better. Amen. But he went and rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. Amen. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare off and went down into it to go with him unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But you know what happened? happen. Amen. Things didn't go so good. He tried to flee from the Lord, but look what happened. Amen. Things began to happen. The storm came. My. God sent a great storm there upon him. And you're familiar with the story how that in this storm, amen, they was about to sink in the ship. Those mariners, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Jonah's back there fast asleep. Amen. He thought he'd got away from God. And God knew where he was at all time, Brother Tim. He knew right there where he was at. He hadn't got away from him. Amen. And so it wound up, I'll not take time for the whole story, but they wound up casting him into the sea and in the belly of the whale. Jonah prayed. Remember this, especially young people, older ones too, for that matter. Amen. If you get into trouble, don't forget to pray. God knows how to listen at you when you get in trouble. Sometimes if you pray, God will still listen. God will still hear you. Amen. And he'll help you if you will pray and call on God. And Jonah done that. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Amen. And he began to enter into the city's journey, and he cried out, you know, yet 40 days and it's going to be overthrown. Amen. And in verse 10 it said, and God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God repented them of the evil that he had said would do unto them, and he did it not. Hey, listen, Jonah had some praying to do before he got straight, but he preached the gospel, and the gospel done its job. Amen. God knowed how to do it. He knowed how. Amen. He knowed how to send that great fish along just at the right time. Amen. That fish had hundreds of miles of waters maybe around. He could have been swimming in somewhere else, but he swum by just at the right time as Jonah went a sailing overboard. God knows how to work, and he induced a spirit of prayer into Jonah's life, and then he anointed Jonah how to preach the gospel. And when he did, that whole town repented and called on God, and God didn't destroy him. God knows how to work and how to do the job. Amen. He still knows how. Amen. He still knows how. Oh, yes. Amen. Oh, I thought about that young lady. Amen. I thought about getting one of the young ladies, but we'll not take time for that. Amen. I thought about that lady. Amen. That it was bowed over with a spirit of affliction. And she had been that way for 18 years. Amen. Couldn't straighten up. Walked around. Amen. But when she came by Jesus, amen, and he done his job, and he done it well. Amen. And she went away from there straightened up and was well. Oh, hallelujah. He knows how to work. Excuse me. Now, as Paul Harvey says, amen, now the rest of the story. Now, I want to tell you a little about my story. Amen. I thought about, amen, along about this last March, 64 years ago. Amen. See, I got saved there in September before that. It wasn't long after I got saved, the Lord had started dealing with me to preach. And I sure wasn't jumping up and down wanting to preach, I can guarantee you that, because I knew of the obligations that a preacher had to go through. And I said, Lord, I can't preach. I don't know how, and I still don't. Amen. But anyway, amen, I just resisted it. I didn't want to preach. And he kept a dealing with me. I'd go to sleep at night, and I'd dream about preaching. Amen, Brother Edwin, I'd dream about preaching. But I'd say, no, Lord, I don't want to be no preacher. I can't preach. I don't want to be no preacher. Amen, but he kept a dealing with me, kept a working with me. And I'd say, no. Amen. No. Amen, Lord. Get somebody else to preach. Amen. But I thought about in March, 64 years ago this March, if you've ever been up from Derrick's to Umpire, it was a lot worse 64 years ago than what it is now. But a big hill there called Claude Jackson Hill. As you come from Umpire down this way, you come off of a hill, and then, boy, there was a steep hill. That was before it was paved and fixed a lot. It was bad on truckers. I had a big load of post on that day. Amen, a big load, a heavy load on my truck. And as I come sailing off of that other big hill, headed up that big hill, and you know, there I was, amen, in high gear, going pretty fast. And I got up as far as I could, shifted down into second. You always had to do that. Went a little ways of that, shifted on down into low. Amen. And then the next gear, we called it compound. And there I still lacked a good ways of being to top. And Brother Jesse, all at once, that old truck began to miss and to cut out. And I seen I wasn't going to make it to the top. I wasn't going to make it to the top of the hill. It was just a missing and cutting out. And there wasn't no service. Didn't have no telephone them days. Amen. No cell phone alone. And there wasn't no service station along the way. I knew I was in trouble. About that time, it crossed my mind. Oh, yes. Yes. You know what I done? Boys, I raised my hand. I raised my hands to the Lord. I said, yes, Lord, I'll preach. Oh, I hadn't known sooner. Brother Timman got it out of my mouth. Amen. And when that old truck quit missing and on up the hill I went. Amen. That was in March of 1950. And I drove that old truck until May. Amen. May about the 20, 21st or 22nd of 51. And when I went in the Army, and Brother Sosa, it never missed another time in all of those months. And there I was just about to take out on me. Amen. But God knowed how. God knows how to work. He knew how to get this old boy to say, yeah, I'll preach. Not that I'm any great preacher, but God was looking ahead. He was looking ahead up at Watts, Oklahoma. Amen. Where Brother Terry Guthrie's pastor now. Amen. And I was in a revival there. And he saw that old, about 80-something year, late 80s, in his late 80s, older than what I am here, I'm sure. Amen. I saw him sitting there, lost on the road to hell. But as I preached that night, Brother Edwin made the altar call. That old man got up out of his seat. He wasn't able to kneel down, but he got him come sit on the altar and prayed through and got saved. God knows how to work. Amen. He was seeing all of that over there on that Claude Jackson Hill. Amen. He knows how to work. Oh, yes. Amen. Oh, yes. And I thought about the Lockleys. They've been here. Some of y'all remember Brother Iron, Brother Espy Lockley, that I pastored for years down in Louisiana. Well, they had a brother. They had a brother that was a bad sick, wasn't saved. And one day as at work, the Lord spoke to me and said, you need to go see that man. Amen. Up there across it. I went to the house and called Brother Iron, Brother Espy. I said, y'all meet me at your brother's house. We went to his house, and he was sitting there, hadn't been able to sleep hardly all night long. He was sitting in a chair. Amen. Listen, and he had to hold his head up, had it with his hand, sitting there trying to hold his head up. And we got to praying for him. We got to praying. Amen. And as we prayed, I said, let me hold your head up, and you raise your hands to the Lord. And I did. Amen. He prayed through and got saved right there. And about a week later, I was standing by his bedside, me and one of his brothers there in the hospital when he passed on into eternity, but saved. Amen. God knows how to work, how to reach people just in time. I don't remember her name, Stephanie, but you remember the young lady that got to come in church there for a while at Quigley Church in Louisiana. And you told me one day, said, you need to go see that young lady's mother. Said, she's sick. you and her got pretty close friends. A young lady there been coming to church some. Said, you know, you need to go see her mother. Said, she's bad sick. And so I drove off out in the country there, and it was way out in the country. I drove as far as I could, had to walk, climb fences, and finally got to the house. Amen. Got to the house, and there she is, real bad sick. We talked a little while, and I had a little prayer for her, but I didn't say nothing to her right then. I didn't feel led of the Lord. Amen. See, God knows just how to work. Amen. It might not have worked there. And so I didn't say nothing to her about praying, getting saved. In the next few days, I went back to see her again. And this time, I felt like it was the time. And so I talked to her. Amen. I said, "About you need to pray." And she prayed, amen, and got saved. Sister Quinn, she prayed through and got saved. Amen. And it wasn't but just two or three days. Then she was from down South Louisiana. It wasn't but a few days there. They had to take her back down South Louisiana where she come from. And she was, within less than a week, she was dead. Amen. Sister Pauline, she got saved. Me and Stephanie and Jason, I think he was a baby then, I went to that funeral. Got down there, and you know, the people she had come from a group of people there, and the people, the pastor, the church down there, they were the folks, you know, believe that you have to be baptized in the name of Jesus to be saved, go to heaven. So when I got there, me and Stephanie got there, and they found out that I was the one with her when she got saved. There was two preachers supposed to preach her funeral there, Brother Dwayne. They just turned it over to me. You preach the funeral. Amen. But oh, I wasn't ashamed to preach that funeral. Woo! Amen. The man that was on the cross over there, amen, the thief on the cross, he didn't have to be baptized to go to heaven. Jesus said, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." Not that I sure did appreciate all those 14 that was baptized. Amen. Who was it? Somebody said something about maybe, you know, they might have been thought about being baptized again. Well, I've been baptized two or three times, you know. Amen, brother. I'd been baptized right after I got saved. And I remember Brother Ben was having a baptizing. And me and Shirley both stepped in and had him to baptize. Not that we had done something wrong, Brother Wayne, but we just wanted to be put under again. Oh, hallelujah. But that she didn't have to be baptized in water to go to heaven. Amen. I think it's needful. I think it's very, very needful. And if you just resist it now, I don't know. It might be a different story if you just don't want to do it and then put it off. But not having a chance. She didn't have a chance. And I believe she's a shouting around the throne. Hey, God knew how to work when he sent me off down there in that country there. Amen. I called Brother Dickie Miller. Y'all know him well. One day, his grandma, Stephanie used to clean her house. She was a fine old lady, but she was Jehovah Witness. She was Jehovah Witness. She didn't know how to pray. She didn't know how to pray. Amen. I called Brother Dickie. Amen. And I said, "Brother Dickie," I said, "let's go see your grandma." We got over there to see her. Amen. I took my Bible, began to read Brother Tim from the Word of God. This precious Word of God here. Amen. Read to her a little bit. And then I told her, I said, "Let's pray." She didn't know how to pray. I said, "You follow me." Amen. Oh, yes. And of course, Brother Dickie was over praying on the side there. And I led her. Amen. Sister Pat, I led her in that sinner's prayer that, you know, people, if people know how to pray, it's a different story. But she didn't know how to pray. Oh, you know what she done? She got saved, got born again, that Jehovah Witness. Amen. Oh, Jesus knows how to work. The Lord knows how to work. Within less than a week, I think it was, I was preaching her funeral. Amen. God knows how to work just in time. Oh, he's a worker. He's a worker. Amen. I must hurry. Amen. Preaching revival. Preaching revival. Amen. Amen. In northern Arkansas, many years ago, and there was a 17-year-old boy. I got up, I believe it was on a Sunday morning. Amen. And come to the altar and prayed through. And you know what now? He's over in the country of Croatia. Harvey Moore, you may know him. Amen. He's over there a missionary. Amen. I tell Brother Harvey a lot of times, I said, I got a part in your mission work over there. Oh, yes. You know what happened? Amen, Brother Robert. On the way up that old Claude Jackson Hill, God was looking. He saw. Amen. These souls that was in need. He saw down yonder. Amen. At Allentown camp meeting, that backslider that had come down there on vacation. Amen. His mother had just died, and the whole family had come down there during that meeting and going a little vacation. And they talked him into going to church. David Miller's brother. Amen. Been backslid about 22 years, I think. Amen. And you couldn't get him to think about going to church, they said. He just didn't want to go to church. And Brother David Miller told me, I asked him to come to church. And he said, well, who's going to be preaching tonight? He said, well, said Brother Doyle House is. And he said, well, what about him? He said, I never heard him preach much. I've just heard him lead singing a lot. And you know what he done? He decided, Brother Wayne, he'd come to church, sitting there. And what had happened, I'd always call Brother Neil Bridges about a month before the Allentown meeting and say, Brother Neil, are you expecting a good meeting this year? He said, oh yeah, amen, I'm expecting a good meeting. He said, you remember, you're supposed to preach the first night. I said, no, you know, he had asked me to preach the year before on a Thursday night, and Brother Lloyd, our pastor here, as a young preacher then, had preached in the youth service on a Wednesday night, I believe it was, and just went on in through to an altar call. And so the night speaker didn't get to preach, so he preached Thursday night, and the Thursday night preacher preached Friday night, so they asked me to preach on Saturday morning, and I thought I was clear. But he said, no, he said, you're supposed to preach the first night. I tried to talk him out of it, but he wouldn't let me. And so before I went to sleep that night, Brother Wayne, I prayed about it, and I knew what God wanted me to preach about. Amen. Take another look. Amen. Take another look. Backsliders, take another look. And that David Miller's brother was there backslid them 22 years. Amen. Probably the first time he'd been in church in a long time. Listen. And as he was standing there, and the Lord hit me that night. Amen. I think Brother Lloyd turned around to him and said, are you going to go to altar and pray? Here he come. Amen. And he prayed to and got saved, still saved. While Brother Lloyd was up there this year, and Brother David Miller's, he put him on the phone, let him talk to me. Amen. He wanted to talk to me. Yes. Amen. God was looking down over there on that Claude Jackson Hill when he made that old truck nearly stop running. He was looking ahead to that backslider that needed to be saved. God knows how to work. Just like he spoke the world into existence. Just like he said, let there be light. God knows how to work if we'll just follow him. If we'll just follow him. Amen. Oh, yes. If we'll turn ourselves over to him. Amen. Sometimes we don't know just how. We don't know just how. Amen. What to do. But if we'll pray. Hey, sometimes I say, Brother Doyle, sometimes I find it hard to pray. Amen. Sometimes you get yourself in a condition. But hey, old Jonah prayed and God heard him. God heard him. And Jonah was far from the Lord. He was far from the Lord. Amen. Oh, yes. He thought he was a hiding from God. He thought he was a hiding from God, running from God. Amen. Went down, down, down. Amen. Went to sleep in the ship there, and the storm of raging there then. Amen. But, oh, listen, down in the belly of that whale, oh, I'll tell you what, God knows how to work, and he knows how to help you. Amen. Oh, listen, he knows how to help you before you get to the belly of a whale. He knows how to help you, amen, before you get backslid for 22 years. He knows how to help you, amen, before you're lying on this bed. Amen. He knows how to help you before, you know, you get bowed over with an infirmity. Amen. I was reading this thing about the lame walking. All that. He knows how to help us. He knows how to help us. My. Amen. He knows. Sometimes we might say, Lord, what's your way? How do I do it? What do I do? Listen, if we turn it all over to him, amen, listen. than the one that spoke this, one that spoke this world into existence, the one that said, "Let there be light." He knows that. He knows our needs. I'm all time telling people when I'm praying for them, God knows our needs better than we know them ourselves. He knows our needs better than we know them ourselves. That's the reason why he can help me with my needs and you with your needs. You can turn them over to him. You can turn every need over to him. He knows how to work. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your power and for your spirit. We thank you for your love and for your mercy. We thank you that you know how to work. You know what our needs are. And we thank you that you know how to meet those needs. And we pray tonight, Lord, that you would meet needs here among us, Lord. Lord, we know there's some needs. We, everyone, have needs, and we know there's needs that needs to be met, Lord. Lord, maybe some sinner, some backslider here tonight, Lord, that needs to call on the name of the Lord, that needs to seek the face of God tonight. Oh, and he knows how to help you. He knows how to help you tonight if you will come to him. Oh, Lord, would you help them? Help them, Lord, to be yielded. Help them to be surrendered, Lord. Each and every one of us to your will. Lord, we know that you know how. You know how to work. We ask your favor tonight. Amen. Would your congregation stand at this time? Everyone that would you stand? We're going to ask you, if there's one here tonight among you, you feel like you may have slipped. Maybe some younger person or some older person. You feel like maybe you've drifted a little too far. That old slew foot, that old devil, as I tell those prisoners out there, that old booger man. Amen. He's a reaching for you. He's a reaching for you. Amen. But he knows how to help you. He knows how to help you. If you just get out of your seat like I had to. Amen. Nearly 65 years ago, like in 13 days now, I got up out of my seat. I was sitting on about the second or third seat from the back. Amen. Oh, in need. I knew my need. I've never run across nobody else, and they've helped others, but I'd fasted that day to get saved. I was so in a conviction. Sit there. Oh, I guess my girlfriend really recognized it. She turned to me and said, "You going to the altar?" Three boys had asked me up on the hill when we went to the schoolhouse before, said, "You going to get saved tonight?" Amen. I guess they could see it wrote all over me. Conviction. If you're here tonight, you need to be saved. Or you feel back away from the Lord. Feel weak. Feel discouraged. Feel need strength from the Lord. If you just get up and come right on up here tonight. Amen. Oh, everyone that would, let's come and gather around these altars, and let's pray that the Lord would help us tonight. Present your need.